Are you tired of that one person that always stirs up drama on D&D nights? Click on the link in the show notes to learn about a workshop experience that might be for you.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So once a halfling heeds the call to adventure, let's talk a little bit about some of their character traits that you can expect to have the benefit of by playing a halfling. This is going to be on page 28 of the player's handbook for anybody that's interested in looking it up.
Yeah. So halflings, physically, they will range from about 3 feet tall, 40 to 45 pounds, typically paler to dustier red skin. But by the way, as always, do what you want. Like if you want to have give them purple skin, you do you. Big deal. And kind of brown or tawny hair that kind of sometimes is like wavy or curly, with brown and or hazel eyes, that kind of range. So they're like, again, they're very simple. There's nothing exciting about just the way they look, right? Whereas like elves could be like almost silvery complexion like the moon, or golden hues like the sun, or you know, black like the Underdark. These guys, they're nothing special, and that's the charm of them, and that keeps them out of the notice of people who would do them harm, right, or want to exploit them. They live about 150 years, so about double what humans would, and they mature about the same rate, a little slower, get maturity at about 20 years old, much like humans would. So for them, their main ability score increase is going to be a dexterity, which gives them a +2. Again, this is them, you know, not trying to confront problems head on. They're always going to be nimble enough to like jump out of the way or be the perfect candidate for a burglar for a group of wayward dwarves. For alignment, the handbook says that lawful good is the leaning. I think probably I would emphasize more the good side, because even there, when a halfling's being bad, like we said before, it's more like shenanigans than it is about like trying to poison someone or smash their head in with a hammer. Although, you know, as it always goes, you do you. And then lawful, I like that idea when we look at their lore, is it's not so much about everyone keeps the rules. It's about like, hey, an orderly society is a calm, peaceful society.
Yeah, and that's everyone what we keeps want. The peace instead of everyone keeps the rules.
Right, exactly. And so it's not a tyrannical or a very rigid lawful. It's more about like, hey, the common good. It's more like a beefed up social contract, right? For them. And again, when we talk about alignments with all of these races, they're talking in generalities. They're talking in broad strokes. This is kind of what they are like as a society. And then so any one example would likely be like this, but individuals are not groups. So make your own choices. I've played halfling barbarians before. They're a lot of fun. So that's the alignment. And remember too, alignment is descriptive, not prescriptive. It doesn't mean that you have to do this. It means your alignment reflects the choices that you make. So keep that in there. They're considered small, which means that they actually take up less space. Unlike the dwarves who are medium but short, the halflings are actually the category size small, and their walking speed is 25 feet.
Yeah, let's actually parse that apart just a little bit, because sometimes that size difference, it's not super common, especially within playable characters within D&D, to see anything other than medium. And it does come into play for certain mechanics, especially combat, when you're talking about your 5 foot squares or who can stand where, pass by. So maybe let's elaborate a little bit on the fact that if you're a small sized creature, when you're playing a halfling, what kind of different benefits might that grant you in adventuring scenarios?
Right. So what that means is that in a 5 foot square, you can usually hold in combat, typically one medium size creature. A 5 foot square can hold, I think, two or maybe four small creatures, so that you can pack them in tighter, of course, and still attack and swing your sword or club or whatever it is that you have. And it also means that some spells may not affect you because it'll say choose a medium or larger creature. My favorite is the reduce and large spell, which basically changes your size category by one, either up or down. And so you would go from not medium to small, but small to tiny. So you go from Labrador to Chihuahua. to put in easy terms, or if you enlarge them, they get up to human size. And you're like, okay, that's not as impressive. It's just a really big halfling now. they can reach the top shelf in the kitchen. Yay. But that's where that shorter speed comes from. And what it also means too is they have a feature called halfling nimbleness, which means that they can move through the space of any creature that is a size larger than them, which is going to be most PCs and most monsters. And so in combat or in tricky situations where like the door is clogged or the way is blocked because of a crowd, they can just literally just go through their legs and get through without having any kind of penalty or difficulty doing that. So that's kind of nice as well.
Yeah. The next feature on the halfling traits is by far my favorite.
Oh yeah.
And that is, as we've already mentioned numerous times so far, lucky. Halflings have an actual trait, mechanical trait, of being lucky within the game, which I just love. And the concept there is anytime you roll a one on a d20 for an attack roll, ability check, or a saving throw, you get to re-roll it one time. You get to re-roll it once. If you get another one, you defy halfling traits and you are very unlucky, but you have to use it. But oh my gosh, what an incredible feature, especially if the DM likes to use critical fails.
So the lucky feature is really, really great because all halflings get it and it can save your butt numerous times. As long as you remember that you have it. Mm-hmm. I have seen many people play halflings over the years, and I would say maybe 20 to 50% of the time, they forget that it exists.
It's one of the best traits too.
Yeah, it really is. Now, my only other complaint with this feature is the name, because the feat lucky is the same as this feature lucky. And it gets very confusing. However, if you want to give a feat to your halfling lucky, the feat to add on top of this, go buck wild. It's amazing combo. You're making long shot from the X-Men. It's great.
I forgot that there was actually a lucky feat as well.
Yes.
Because, I think as this game gets older and bigger with additional content that wizards are just struggling a little bit to maybe maintain the structure. It's like building a house and then just putting add-ons where things start to get a little bit weird as you keep going. Cool. Yeah. And then their other feature is that they are brave.
Yes. So they are brave, which is really nice. And that basically means that you have advantage on saving throws against being frightened as the condition, which is really great because it gives them that kind of like plucky, everything goes my way vibe. It really enforces that, which is really, really awesome. And the frightened condition doesn't get used a whole lot in my experience, although it should, because it gives the player disadvantage on a ton of things and they can't get closer to the object of the fear. It's just really great. And a lot of ironically, or perhaps on purpose, a lot of the older dragons have an aura of fear and can just freak people out. But when your halfling comes up on your, I don't know, let's just say red dragon inside its horde inside the mountain and causes fear and you have advantage on the check and you make it. Interesting. So, you're trying not to bust out laughing. Yeah, I know. So that's a really nice feature. And it just kind of gives them that everything's going to be okay. It'll all turn out in the end.
Yeah. And again, that makes total sense with what we were talking about with their history, where you have this deity just kind of looking out for you. Of course, you would be a little bit more bolstered and puff your chest out just a little bit more because you believe that there is something just kind of probably keep you a little bit safe. So that feature, that trait actually makes more sense to me now as to why it's there and the mechanics of why it's there than it had before.
Yeah. Now, I will say one other thing is that, as we were talking about luck before, in Xanathar's, there's new feats in there as well. And one of them is halfling specific called Bountiful Luck, which basically means they can let other people borrow that innate luck. And so basically when an ally within 30 feet rolls a one on the D20 for the same things, you can use your reaction and let them reroll it like they were a halfling. But that means you don't get to use it until your next turn because you gave up your option to be lucky.
Okay.
Which is kind of fun too. Shared,
yeah.
Yes, you can share that halfling luck, which is just, this is kind of cool. I like that a lot.
Getting excited just talking about it. Mm-hmm. And then the last main trait, which isn't necessarily anything like a skill numbered wise, is basically what do they speak? What kind of language do they communicate in when you're building a halfling?
Yeah, so they can read, write, and speak common and halfling. And what I love this is it says that halfling language isn't a secret, but they're loath to share it with others. They don't have a lot of like written down things. And so it's not really easy to find. And so in my mind, it's just like, because they are oftentimes off in some, you know, forgotten corner of the world living like, you know, a peaceful life, or they have their own kind of sections of the city where they just are living in a human city or part of a larger culture, that because it's not written down anywhere, and they like, I kind of like, they only speak it at home, but out in the marketplace and adventuring, they'll speak, you know, common to everybody. It's just not easy to get it in to learn it, because it's not like, you know, it's not one of the options in Rosetta Stone. Like, you just can't go learn it. So it seems like if you're close with halfling and halfling culture, they might teach it to you. But it's the closest thing to like a natural secret like language that you might be able to use, like to send codes. And it's like the Navajo during World War II with the code talkers. Like, no one knew Navajo, and so it was really hard to break that code for that and other reasons. So I always kind of think of it as like Cockney rhyme scheme. You hear people using it and you're like, I recognize some of those words. I have no idea what they're saying. That's amazing. And there's not like, you can't just go find big libraries full of Cockney rhyme scheme books, but it's out there. So that's kind of how I think of halfling.
Okay. So, and I mean, that makes sense too, that they don't, I was thinking at first like, oh, curiosity, why wouldn't they have another language on there? But they're secluded. They don't necessarily, as much as they're friends with people, they're not necessarily out being like having exposure to all of these different languages. So I think that if you're playing a halfling, it would make a lot of sense that you would strive to learn an additional language, maybe one of like a party member or something like that, but you wouldn't, before you go adventuring, you wouldn't have access really to that mentor or that person to learn this extra language necessarily, depending on backstory and some other stuff. Thanks for equipping the compendium. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so, since episodes are published every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursdays if you're a patron on our Patreon account. If you enjoy listening each week, a great way to help support the show outside of contributing to our Patreon is just by sharing a link to this episode with one of your friends that you think might like it too. We hope to see you back in a few days for the next episode, where we're going to be continuing our discussion, delving further into the world of D&D.